This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Mama always said I was a favorite mistake. Papa said I made it and he's fucking amazed. My sister begging me to get her friends backstage. Got a key to the city and a street in my name.
I think I need my own parade. I think I need my own parade.
The club that wouldn't let me in back in the days. Now the same motherfucker where they begged me to play.
That's right.
They said I was a sinner, now they giving me praise. Got a key to the city and a street in my name.
I think I need my own parade.
Oh man, what's going on? Thanks for tuning in to my mom's favorite podcast on the HMB Radio Network. I love that song, but I forgot how long that intro is. It's a really long, it was a really good song. If you guys don't know, I'm James Bailey. This is my mom's favorite podcast. Today's episode, we're going to have Joe Riga on, a good friend of mine, really good comic, funny dude from Tampa. Well, from New York, but lives in Tampa, but maybe leaving soon. We'll talk about some things. It'll be fun. Somehow we always end up talking about drugs, so that'll probably come up. I don't think we've had a podcast yet without that. Movies, sports, fun stuff. So thanks for tuning in. My mom's favorite podcast on the HMB Radio Network, and Will Coons is doing the intro again, so it went off right. Yeah.
Key to the city and the street in my name.
I think I need my own parade. I think I need my own parade.
Hey. It's Merch Day, baby. And don't it sound so crazy?
I usually use them for my intro music. I'm actually thinking
until you get sued.
Yeah, I was thinking. Well, they seem pretty cool. I use mostly.
Are they an underground group? Who is it?
They're part of Strange Music, Tech N9ne's label.
Oh, okay.
And that's pretty much all I listen to anymore. Like MERS, who was start off there. All right, that's MERS and Mayday. Mayday's a group, and then MERS is a rapper. And
I've heard of him. Are we recording?
Yeah, we're recording.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we just kind of slide into it. that sounded way worse as soon as I said it. But yeah, so, well, you know Murs. He's from California. He's part of Living Legends. Living Legends is another, like, overall just crew that he runs with. Idea and Abilities, though one of them just died, I want to say, in the last year or two, but I think it was Abilities. I can't remember. No, it was
I like to start off podcasts by reminiscing on dead rappers. I mean, you definitely cornered the market on sad intros.
Yeah, that did just kind of go there. I didn't mean to do that. So we'll get back to the happy stuff.
You just
stuff.
Slid in there yeah, again.
I just slid. Oh, it's even worse now because he's. Oh,
you're
oh,
sliding
God.
Into a cemetery grave with a rapper inside.
This is an auspicious start, Joe Riga. So thanks for doing the podcast. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me, bro.
How do you like the studio?
I feel like it's cool, man. I've been here before, so this is a return journey for me to St. Pete in a nice, cool apartment of Will.
Yeah.
Yeah, very hip, very artsy-fartsy. I like it.
Yeah, we got this huge tie-dye thing on the wall. We'll do a picture in front of that because I don't think I have one on the page yet. So anybody listening can go to my mom's favorite podcast
and
on
feel
Facebook.
Like they're here, you know?
Yeah, they can see what it is we're talking about, what we deal with on a regular basis.
I'm going to make you a show page as well at some point on my website.
Oh, word?
So you'll have access to that.
We're getting professional up in this piece.
Man, this is a very inside baseball for the listeners. This is a meeting, a podcast meeting.
Yeah. Someday in the future, my listeners will be like, no, I was listening when he was just talking about doing this shit. Like, you don't know.
I was there the day Will said, hey, I'm going to put that on the website.
Hey, we're going to help you get out there.
So what's going on, bro? What's up?
Nothing. We're just going to... I haven't really talked to you too much about the podcast. Basically, we just chat. There's no real format.
What happened is I walked out of my house this morning, and someone threw a potato sack on my face and threw me into the back of a conversion van, and I woke up here. So I'm ready to... Right.
Well, then we got a little... We weren't going to tell our listeners about that yet. We were going to wait till Will got the page up on his website, and then we tell him how we get our guests.
There you go. A little ransom note.
Can I say you guys are killing this podcast so far?
We are. This is how they all usually start out because we smoke a little bit right before we start.
I get a contact buzz.
Yeah, Will gets a
every
it's
time.
As high as we'll ever be.
Yep.
Or maybe not. Maybe Joe didn't. Maybe Joe's just relaxed.
I'm always the same, bro. You know me. I smoke. I don't smoke. I'm still that same goofball either way.
Well, I just didn't know if you were worried about people from your job listening or...
I don't know. The way it's starting, I'm not worried about anyone listening.
We really aren't. I think I got two or three people that listen.
That's what I was like, hey, are you allowed to play that music? I'm like, wait, no, there's no record labels. Like, hey, we're getting all these emails and phone calls that some guy is playing the song.
I'm thinking about reaching out to him. They seem like
you
cool
should.
Guys.
You might as well. You should just ask them to say, hey, I do a podcast. I love your music. They're going to be happy that, you know how it is, as someone that can appreciate feedback like that, positive. Yeah. I'm sure they'll be very happy to.
Yeah, I've been using multiple songs.
They're
going to
say, no, you owe us $87,000.
Yeah. Well, let me see. I've used MERS and Mayday. I've used, I think I've used Tech N9ne.
So you don't want any women listening to this podcast, is what you're saying?
I use Eminem. Bitches love Eminem.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I actually do. I definitely love. I'm one of those people that really, really likes Eminem. Like, not because he's Eminem, but just as a lyricist, I'm a huge, huge fan of his.
Well, that's where, like, I make the point, and most people will at least agree on this, that even if you're not a fan of what he's saying, like, you don't like him as an artist or as a person, you know, because of his outside life, like, you got to admit, what he can do lyrically is fucking impressive.
Yeah, but people that don't like you as a person, they're not going to give you props for being a good rapper. They just don't like you.
Some of them will. Like, maybe it's just because she's my daughter, and maybe I shouldn't be talking about, like, hardcore hip-hop with my 16-year-old
like,
daughter.
Honey, do you know about MERS?
Well, she does. She listens to shit in my car. She actually lost a friend because of the Drake Meek beef.
Just so you know, this is the second reference to death Bailey's made in the first 9.5 minutes.
What are you talking about?
You said lost a friend, right?
Like, yeah, not like that. No, I just meant
I almost poured out some liquor, bro.
Oh, yeah. See, now you're going there. No, I'm just talking about this is actually good news.
Oh, okay.
Because her friend was like, yo, who do you got in the Drake Meek beef? I got Drake. And my daughter was like, first of all, Drake's garbage, and second of all, why do you care?
Oh, that's a perfect answer. Man, I wish my friends had that answer. Oh, my God. I've had someone ask me about it. I'm like, I don't care, number one. Yeah. And number two, why are we talking about this? No, I don't care. Like, as a hip-hop fan, obviously, in the 90s, I got to experience my own version of rappers beefing. But they died.
Real beef, yeah.
They died. Like, they actually are dead. So unless Meek and Drake are going to have an old Western style shootout.
Well, like there was that meme forever on Facebook, and I think it was a tweet too, and I don't know who the first person to do it was. I'd like to give him credit because it was just brilliant. But it was like when Pac had beef with Big because he thought he shot him. Meek got beef with Drake over a tweet. The rap game has changed.
No, it definitely has. And for those wondering what that is, that's a water faucet.
I was just about to say, Will's mic. Will got some new mic cords and
Will,
mics.
Will's
for,
recording sounds for the new Avatar movie. Like, this is a bumbling brook.
I don't know how I feel about that movie. How do you feel about that movie?
Avatar, I liked it.
The second one. They're going to make another one.
Oh, how do I feel about that movie that's not done yet? I don't know. I'm for it. What? Really? So far, I like it. No, I'm a fan of anything that's good. And the first one was good.
Thank you.
Man, that's good, bro.
Oh, I forgot to tell you before the podcast, be careful with the table. That one thumps.
Hey, well, the producer needs to know about it, not the guest.
Sorry. Well, then we gotta remember about the table and if the screen goes black because that happened. Who did I have
Will's
on there?
Will's
when
just
that,
gonna
was
spray
John?
A garden hose
that was,
onto the microphone.
David Weingarten.
Is that Weingarten? Didn't something happen with John and Jared too?
Usually, something always happens at some point. It's still with me too. Mine did it last week too. I accidentally pulled the cord out for the out, and then it was like it was really annoying. So it happens.
I'm trying so hard right now to not just get overly excited about. I'm about to meet the Todd from Scrubs. I mean, it's out of the phone, but like, it might be the weed, but I'm also smiling and I'm all tingly inside and shit. Like this.
No,
is
you
very
were
exciting.
You were talking about him randomly the other day, so that had nothing to do with today. So yeah, no, you're a fan. I like Scrubs, but back to Avatar that you brought up. No, I liked it. It was a fun movie. It was like a cool sci-fi. You know, everyone's gonna good's gonna prevail at the end type movie.
And
cool fighting scenes.
The only thing I didn't like about that movie is when people started trying to relate it to like, oh, it's a metaphor for this, or look at the political statement. I'm like, no. Like, if you want to see that, fine, go see that.
Yeah, you could do that in anything. You could be like, dude, Mighty Ducks is about the Israeli takedown of a Palestinian jet in the 70s.
Well, wasn't it I'm trying to remember if it was just a nudist article, if it was actually a whole book, but somebody wrote like the Tao of Roadhouse. And it was just like all these fucking Patrick Swayze quotes from Roadhouse and how they apply in real life. Like they took the pain don't hurt, and they're like, well, if you look at this and this, and like it's hilarious. But just
I'm gonna do that with Point Break.
Please tell me the original.
First of all, I didn't even know they made a sequel until recently, and I was like upset.
See,
and it was already out. Is it out or is it coming out?
No, it came out and it bombed.
Yeah. Oh, no, that needs to bomb. That's like Gallagher 2.
Okay, see, that was why I brought up Avatar 2, even though we haven't seen Avatar 2, is that a movie like, as soon as they said, we're going to remake Point Break, and I was like, no. And then they told me who they cast, and I was like,
first of all, to be fair,
no.
Avatar remake is a lot closer to the original than Point, because Point Break came out like 20 years ago.
Right. I mean, I understand like this, but like it's one of those movies where it's like, this does not have to be made. Don't do this. You're making a money grab.
But Hollywood's already proven they don't care about that. Like they're like, no, dude, we're making prequels, sequels, anything. Coloring books about Avatar.
The only movies that they make now are either the $100 million ones or the $100,000 ones. Yep. They don't have the mid-range of film anymore because it's not profitable because people steal movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, James is stealing music. Hollywood's stealing movies. It's a free-for-all.
Oh,
bro.
I steal movies, too.
Wild Wild West.
I just moved, I made sure right before I moved because I didn't know when I was going to have Wi-Fi again. I downloaded a bunch of
shit. You know what's funny? I'm so, like, in the internet. I don't download stuff anymore. Like, I'm like, ugh, I can't stream it. Ugh, come on, next. Yeah, like I can't even fathom downloading movies anymore. Everything is just like, I need it now, and then I'm done.
Well, see, there's some shit like Silicon Valley's on HBO. I'm not gonna pay for HBO to go. Like I pay for Netflix. My old roommate pays for Hulu, and we just share.
He said that with a lot of pride. Like I pay $9. Look, I'm one of those people that pays. Okay,
I am proud of the fact of how I work this out with somebody where I'm like, I'll pay for this service, you pay for that service, and we just.
I pay for Netflix. You pay for rent. Okay, let's split up. You do the electric bill, and I'll pay Netflix.
Oh, if I could find that deal, we'd have the Mac Daddy Netflix package.
Or you'd be living in a bird cage.
Yeah. All right. I'm just gonna go to my room now.
Rent? Okay.
My little cage.
You sit on that little perch.
Yeah. It's just, and then next to it's just a leather table with straps. Like, better not be late this month.
Yeah. Why are you still ordering the newspaper? Like, carpet. Yeah. So Avatar sequel, I'm cool with. I'm cool with anything that's good if you do it twice. I'm fine. Like if they do Revenant Part 2. And it's like Leo, like getting a job or something, like living a normal life.
Another movie I illegally downloaded yesterday.
What'd you think of that? That was a good movie, right?
I haven't seen it yet. I just
saving it for a special occasion.
Well,
download it.
I just watched. I finally watched Black Mass.
Who's that? What's that?
With Johnny Depp. Oh. No, with Johnny Depp, where he plays Whitey Bulger.
Dude,
He's good in movies, dude. Like. Johnny Depp is by far like my favorite actor. Him, Denzel, and Cusack. Like you put one of them
Cusack,
in a movie.
Look at you throwing Cusack on that third.
Dude, John Cusack's a damn fine actor, bro.
Well, obviously he's in your top three, bro. You're giving him high praise.
I've seen a lot of movies that he's even when I saw him in a shitty movie, he just had a small part. He was still very good in that small part. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like. He's just a really... I've never seen him turn in a bad performance.
Mm, yeah, I would agree with that. But top three, I mean, that's a little stretch, Bailey.
Who you got?
I'm not a movie buff, just so you know. Like, you know people that listen to, radio music, and you're like, you say MERS, they're going to go, what the hell are you talking about? Yeah. I'm like that with movies. So I'm like, all the commercial movies I know, everything else I don't. But for me, like, just actor, I'd have to say... Tom Hanks is great, so I'll throw him somewhere. I don't have a number one and a two or three. I'll just say three guys. So him, Denzel's great, and then number three, I like Ed Norton for some reason. Like, I really like him. He's good.
I wouldn't argue any of those. I might argue Tom Hanks a little bit just...
I might be thinking of the movie and not his acting.
Well, he had a couple movies, Sleepless in Seattle and You Got Mail, were essentially the same movie. Let's fucking be real. Good job, but essentially the same movie.
Tom Hanks, you hear that? James is giving you credit. Good job, buddy. Keep it up, buddy. Maybe you'll pull one out.
Dude, I tweet directly at a lot of celebrities talking shit.
You're that guy? I'm friends with that guy.
No.
Did you know he was that guy?
No, I didn't actually
know. Mostly just like Kanye West.
Okay, that's acceptable. Like, barely acceptable.
Because, all right, I used to never, but I was like, then I heard this story, You know who Jenny Johnson is?
The like the Twitter girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know the
Twitter
whole,
girl?
The
whole she's like 40.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she's like 30.
Either way, she's
anyway,
not a
I
girl.
Just listened to her on Rogan's podcast.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
why.
She was talking about Chris Brown.
Yeah, she yeah. did that whole thing, and it was yeah. just like, I'm not going to tell her whole story on my podcast. Go listen to Joe Rogan's. It's good. But wait till you know, you're done with this one. It's much shorter, too. This one is.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, no, Rogan goes for 2.5, 3 hours. I go for an hour, hour and a half.
So did Kanye respond to you?
No, no, and they're never going to. I have, like, 200 followers. Like, let's be real. Like, I am nobody. Like, she had thousands and thousands when that happened. But, like, no. Like, I have like, 200 and some.
You have us?
You have us. Or, yep. I have y'all.
Yeah, but you have those 10 guys in London yeah, you were talking about
I have,
earlier.
Like, 10 followers in London. And I'm pretty sure that most of my American ones are just bots. What cracks me up, though, is sometimes I like to put... inappropriate hashtags on tweets. Like one of the first ones I did and just made me laugh so hard. And the whole reason I do it now is I made this tweet that was like, oh God, I want to remember it right. Cause it was a pretty good tweet. It was like the clothes don't make the man, the child in China makes the clothes.
Man, I never heard anyone butcher their own jokes so
I
badly.
I just butchered the shit out of
you. Just like that
you
was get, like,
but that was like two.
You just committed joke suicide. That was like watch two. You were like, someone call the cops, maybe, or watch them jump. I don't know,
dude. I that was like 2 years ago, and I smoked so much.
You know what's funny? Like my friend, I have a friend, and he's not a comedian. He's just a super funny guy, and he always tells people's jokes.
Yeah,
and they're funny jokes, but it never sounds good to me when someone does someone else's joke. But I've never heard someone do their own joke so bad.
It was brutal.
I know. I just fucked.
I've watched Friends.
It was
bomb.
A good joke too.
Yeah,
I like it. But, and so,
I like the original, the prequel. Yeah. You just or the sequel. You
the
just
sequel.
Did,
yeah.
The Avatar 2.
See, that didn't need to happen.
Yeah. I do that. Like someone will see one of my jokes. First of all, I always pretend. I don't know if you guys do this. That when people go. They'll say, like, hey, Will, I saw your clip or whatever. Even you know exactly what they're talking about, but you go, like, what clip?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Like, you pretend like you don't know what they're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll go, yeah, I saw that clip. And they'll condense your whole set into, like, I like that bit about things. And you're like, ugh. Like, they've completely made it sound so minimal and
it's
silly.
Like, thanks. So at first you're kind of like, this is going to be good. Then you're like, aw, soul crushing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to do the cliche skit. You know, your skits are good. But they'll paraphrase your whole joke and just make it sound so bad to other people.
If I had executed the joke properly, it was funny. And I put a hashtag
on there.
You
should email it to all your listeners afterwards.
I put a hashtag on there. It was like, hashtag child labor. And it was like one of my first tweets. And I was like, yeah, I'm pretty proud of that. And then, like, I instantly got, like, a notification. I was like, oh, I guess I did pretty good. I don't even have any followers. I already got a like. And I look at it, and it was a child labor advocacy group. And I was like, what the fuck? And I clicked on their page, and it was like, we support trying to end child. I'm like, you didn't read that joke, did you? And I'm pretty sure that I like to see, like, by putting inappropriate hashtags on shit, what kind of random groups follow me. Just be like, no, you didn't read that.
You know, Joe, with the butchering the jokes thing, people always save themselves, though, because they'll be like, or they'll do it after. They'll do it, and then they'll be like, you got to hear him do it, because I'm not doing it justice. They save themselves.
But that's hard to do it when it was my joke. Like, you got to hear me do that another time.
they choke the joke right before it's about to die, and then they go, nah, you know what, I'm fine. Yeah. They're like, they're trying to catch their breath back. It's like, no, you murdered the joke. Or at least he's brain damaged.
I was telling Catherine Maloney, because I was trying to tell somebody about her to, like, book at a club, because they had just started doing a room. I'm like, dude, if you can get her, she's really fucking funny. She's dirty as shit, but she's hysterical. And I was like, I was a little high, and I think I might have even still been drinking at
the
time.
You don't have to say that, because we get it. Like, you're just high, bro. We get it.
Yeah, pretty much all the time, yeah. And I think I was still drinking at the time, too. But, like, I butchered her joke about having, like, her pussy can't get the trash taken out. I did tell the person.
You should
I was like,
book this girl. First, let me give you one of her jokes.
No.
It goes a little something like this.
It got her booked, all right? So suck a dick.
Oh, man.
But I was talking to her about
it. No thanks to you.
Yeah, I was talking to her about it. Like, she was, because we were talking about, like, how I'd introduce her or whatever. And she was like, all right, yeah, cool. And I was like, yeah, like, I think I was a little drunk, though, when I accidentally... But the way I said it, I think I said, like, I butchered your pussy bit. And she was like, well, that's the first time anybody's ever said that phrase to me. And I'm like, oh, so sorry. Oh, that was horrible.
Bailey has to like say something inappropriate or do something inappropriate. Like every, you're like a fish that has to keep moving in water. You have to keep saying something that possibly could be mean or not.
I don't mean to though. Like it just happens.
I'll put it this way: I have a lot of friends. Every one of my friends and families on Facebook. You're the only one I know that got suspended from Facebook. I don't know anyone that's been suspended from the internet. Like that's such a weird. It's well, such a weird badge of honor.
I own that, though. Like, that wasn't me accidentally. No, like, I intentionally...
Facebook has so many assholes on it, and they're like, sorry, bro, you need a break.
Well, dude, it happened to my... All right, it happened to my my cousin. My cousin's boyfriend, baby daddy. They're still together. I don't want to say baby daddy. I think they're engaged. I don't know. But he's basically my cousin, too. Cool cat. Hung out with him a bunch in Houston. Always hooks me up when I go down there. Cool cat. But he put, and I knew this was going to happen to him, but he was like, it was a video. I think the caption was, when Meek tried to get that pussy from Nicki after that Drake beef or something like that. And then the video was just straight this chick, like, uppercutting this dude's junk. Like, they're both butt naked and they're laying there, and she's just going to town with, like, uppercuts and then starts dropping, like, knees, just terrorizing this dude's junk. It was the... And I'm like, I'm looking at like, oh, come on, man. I don't want to see that. And I knew. And then like 2 days later, he's on Facebook talking about, can you believe they suspended me because some punk reported me? And I'm like,
yeah.
I tagged him. I was like, dude, I've been suspended too. I could have told you that was going to happen. Like,
so you're saying it's in your DNA.
That's not even blood. That's just by association. Oh, okay. But no, like all it takes is somebody to say that
you're
really
offended. You're a Facebook bandit, bro. You're like.
I am. See, it is my fault though. Like. I could see this chick was just one of those people that was super easily offended. I could have at any time just went, you know what? I had my fun.
You had to hit that button. You had to press her button.
And I just did it intentionally, and I knew what I was doing. And I said shit that
I would argue subconsciously. I don't even think you're doing intentionally. I think your body just
I did it
does
intentionally.
It automatically.
Like at one point, I typed in the words "shemale," which I would never typically say because I actually have people who are very close to me, like. Not like blood relatives, but like grew up next to them or, you know, like related to whatever, like married in, that went through the procedure. That went from men or from women to men and men to women.
So you're really a dick is what you're saying because you know people and you're still doing it. So you're bad.
Oh, yeah. I was totally because I was like I would never really.
Most people say it the opposite. Like, look, man, I didn't mean it. I have friends that are like that. You're like, dude, I meant it. I have friends that are like that and I hate them. Yeah.
Oh, no, I love them. Like, I don't normally think like this, but I was like, this chick, for some reason, I was just like, nope, she's not going to get away with being easily offended.
Well, I didn't even know that was a bad word until recently.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
That's I mean, it's one of those words, like, it's almost like queer, where if I call a gay dude, if I, like, look, they're queer, I can get in trouble. But one of their organizations that advocates for them, LGBTQ something B. So, I mean, or another, there's so many fucking letters now.
I think you made up the B at the end.
No, it's LGBTQ, and then there's another letter, but I can't remember. But anyway, but the Q stands for queer, and like, queer eye for the straight guy. I mean,
but that's the same outdated thing with the NAACP.
Yeah.
Same thing.
It's like, one of those things that back in like the 70s and 80s when it first came around, no, that's just what you called them. It, offensive or not, it's just what was. But nowadays, it's like, well,
they need to update their acronyms, both of those organizations. Or, get rid of the Q and get rid of the
Or just stop being offended.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm against all acronyms, by the way, listeners. I hate all acronyms.
Except for NWA and NWO.
No, I love the music. I love the artists. I hate acronyms. I hate the excessive periods.
But okay, so based on that logic, NWA is just known as niggas with attitudes. Mm-hmm. In the early 80s, how are white kids going to walk up to concert windows and ask for that ticket?
Well, here's the beauty of being me. I got into hip hop after NWA, so I didn't even have to go through that awkward stage of not knowing how to say it.
Well, now, how old are you?
I'm 34.
You really had to think about that.
Well, it's that, you know when you hit, like, 26, every age just kind of becomes the same. Like, am I 26 or am I 27? Like, the age is insignificant. Like, other than, like, the 30 and the 40, like, the zero at the end. All the other numbers are kind of silly. So when you like, am I 31 or 32? Am I 29 or 28? Like, it doesn't matter. I had a friend, like, I was, like, 29 and he was 27. He's like, damn, bro, you're 29. I'm like, dude. Stop it. Like, just stop. You hear what you're fucking saying. Just stop. Yeah, I didn't get into hip-hop until 94. Like, I knew of it. It's not like I didn't hear it, but I didn't, like, buy albums until 94, which is the greatest year of all time.
It was a pretty fantastic year.
Best. Like, it's like the comedy boom. Like, imagine being a comic during the comedy boom. Being a hip-hop fan during that was the best.
Dude, I just remember at one point in my life, there was Tupac. There was Eazy-E. There was Dr. Dre. There was Biggie. There was... who else was still putting out fucking records at that time? That was just amazing. Like, Cypress Hill was at one of their peaks. And then there was groups that, like, are still fucking so good, like Funk Dubious. The funkiest. Oh, God, I fucking...
Cypress Hill, like, I knew about Cypress Hill, and I didn't even think they were rap. Like, that's how unique they were at the time. I didn't even think they were rap. I just thought it was, like, this... Like, it wasn't rock.
They're hip hop. Yeah. Because, like, it's just something so different about
it. It was just that song, too. Yeah. Like, that was the first song. It wasn't like, I could just kill him. Like, that's definitely a little bit more hip hop. But it was, it was the greatest thing ever. And I was too young to really understand. I was 13, so I didn't really understand every word and how, you know, certain drug terms and gun terms. Like, I just knew everything. And then as I got older, I was like, oh, wow. That was
pretty violent. Did it for me, and I want to say this was. God damn it. I want to say this was 92, maybe 93 at the latest, but I want to say it might have even been 90, but I was like 10 or 12 years. I was around 12 years old, give or take. And I heard Outkast, Southern Playalistic Cadillac
Music. That was
music.
1993 or 4. 1994, I think.
Oh, this is normally where I would yell at Will to look it up, because if I have my phone too close to this, it goes, hey,
well, I can tell you, I guarantee that, because that album, I'm pretty sure that album came out in 94, so that song might have been 93.
Are you sure it wasn't 92? Because AT Aliens dropped in 95.
No.
And I want to say there was a 2 or 3 years in between where they were just touring a lot.
92. Well, you could look it up, but that's wrong. 92 is too early. It's too early.
I got it. We're going to have to. Well, you got an iPhone. But when I heard that, dude, my life fucking changed, son. It was like...
I got on them late. I always liked them, but I didn't care for them. I didn't appreciate them until, like, maybe 5 years ago. Like, really enjoyed
them. When they first came out, and the difference between their first LP from Southern Playlist of Cadillac Music to AT Aliens, and then, what was the next one? Aquemini... I'm missing one in there. Speaker Box, the ones that drop. I mean, like, they just, like, everything that they do, every style, every different thing they do just sounds so fucking good.
Well, they're, like, ageless.
Yeah, like, there's, even my daughter loves them. And, you know, she listens to a lot of, one of her big things is Earl Sweatshirt. She loves Earl Sweatshirt.
So just
Sweatshirt,
so you know,
Tyler, the creator.
Listeners at home, it is 1994,
oh my God,
as I said.
Really?
Dude, 94 was Outkast, Biggie, Wu-Tang, Bone Thugs and Harmony, Snoop.
1994, I would have been
Cypress Hill.
14.
Everything you could ask for hip-hop-wise. Every Tribe Called Quest. Like, everything possible.
De La Soul.
They're actually earlier than 94.
Oh, yeah. I remember listening to them, Tribe Called Quest.
But 94 was literally the greatest hip-hop
What
year.
Am I thinking with Q-Tip and that Tribe Called Quest?
Leaders of the New School, Busta Rhymes, you're talking about that?
Yeah, that's what I'm... because Q-Tip was Tribe, and then Leaders of the New School, that's what I was thinking with
Charlie
Busta Rhymes, because that was a big
group. I actually
group.
Watched the video today. It was Old Dirty Bastard and Busta Rhymes. It looked like it was like a music conference or something like that, and they were doing verses before they were songs,
because
they weren't freestyle, because I knew the words. I'm like, wait. Yeah. But they're, you know, they're...
It's like, this is what I'm working on now. Yeah.
Or maybe that was just about to come out,
because
they did that Wuha remix together. But it was crazy, because I never liked Old Dirty Bastard. I didn't like him. I love everything from Wu-Tang. I hated it, because he was just... To me, he just sounded nonsensical. Like, he just said crazy things. And
that was the best part. Ooh,
well,
baby, I like it raw. Shimmy, 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 yeah.
But
shimmy,
that's
yay.
The thing. For Old Dirty Bastard, he's great for a chorus. But I don't want to hear an album. Like, when he does, like, shimmy, shimmy, yaw, that's like, that's a contagious
dude, that
like,
album he fucking dropped was just ridiculous. I mean, I'll give it to you. Like, it wasn't full of content and fucking amazing lyrical No.
He's
but
perfect
it was just
to
so
mix
good.
With them. Like, when you have nine MCs, you need an Old Dirty Bastard just to send it in another direction.
Yeah.
But to listen to, like, 13 songs or whatever.
Dude, Wu-Tang's another one of those things, though, that it's like, no matter what year you look at, no matter what album you look at, Wu-Tang is going to be forever. You know what I'm saying? Like, I went and saw them in concert. Or no, I saw
They're horrible in concert, though.
I didn't see them. I saw it was Red and Meth. It was
that's different.
It was Hard Knock Life Tour back in 99.
Him, DMX, Jay-Z, Ja Rule, them.
Ja Rule wasn't there. It was just DMX. It was who the fuck opened? I think
Drag On, those Rough Riders.
Yeah, it was somebody. But then it was Red and Meth.
Memphis Bleak was there. Beanie Siegel.
I don't remember. It was a bunch of the. But then I just remember when Red and Meth came out, that shit was amazing. I just remember seeing little fucking dime bags from the front, six rows. Because I was only people were throwing them on stage. Because I was in the 18th or 12th row, somewhere right around that, because we moved up a little bit for them.
18th or 12th?
Well, we had seats for 18th. We moved up at one point because the whole crowd pushed up, but when DMX came out, he made us go back.
I saw Redman in 95 or 94, and he had a vest. Yeah. You know, we wear a vest with a bubble vest with no shirt underneath, so just his arms. And he threw bags of weed into the audience. He threw them into the audience.
Well, this
instead of them throwing them to him, he threw them to them.
This was shortly before they did How High Together. It's a year. I think
that movie was. I mean, you're wearing a Cheech and Chong shirt, but How High? I mean, I was a teenager when it came out, but I watched it maybe a couple years ago. It's so bad.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's so bad.
I'd rather
see rappers be hardcore. I can appreciate when a rapper is acting tough because that's kind of what they do anyways. But as funny as they are, they're not funny. They're not
Meth is actually a good actor. I've seen him in a bunch of different things.
No, he's great. You know who's horrible? He's not a leading comedic role.
You know who's fucking horrible? And it made me so sad.
Wait,
because,
can I guess?
Yeah.
Rapper, right?
He's a rapper, and the only clue that I'll give you is that he's extremely highly respected.
Extremely highly respected rapper that's a bad actor. Are they in movies? Have they been in movies?
They've done at least three that I can rip off the top of my head, but I want to say there's more.
Movie theaters, right? Legit movies or those?
Maybe one or two of them didn't hit theaters, but okay. If I look it up, there'd be five that you've seen. I guarantee you've seen
I don't want you to say Common.
No, Common's
okay.
Good.
I like Common. I was worried you were going to say Common.
Oh, God, no, he's dope. I like Common.
I mean, it could be so many. Ludacris is kind of corny.
Yeah, but he never plays he plays corny ass roles. So he's good.
Ice Cube.
Ice T's good. Ice Cube is good.
Well, first of all, you're just saying they're all good. So you're
bullshitting. Yeah, he's not. No, he's not great. They're good. They can get the point across.
I can't even imagine watching that Kevin Hart and Ice Cube movie. There's no part of my brain. Dude,
it was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I swear to God, it was. I didn't.
There's way too many things on the Netflix and in life that I have to see before. I saw what? Damn it! What is it? It's the. What's the Tarantino movie? It's
Hateful Eight.
No, old school.
Four Rooms. Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs.
Okay.
I saw that 4 years ago.
What?
Yeah, and I love it. I've seen it 30 times since. Or 30. I've probably seen it 10, 10 times since. So I would have to watch those type of movies I've never seen before I watch Kevin Hart.
Yeah, don't rush for it. But if it happens to be on someday,
dude, you
want to
hear something lame and white but really cool at the same time? So I was on Netflix on February, new stuff comes out. So, or every month stuff comes out. So I was searching for the new things, and I saw Cheers, the sitcom. And it wasn't new, but I've never paid attention to it on Netflix. I watched Cheers, the show, because it came out when I was a kid. So I was too young to understand the jokes. That show is so funny. It is so well written. I know everyone already knows that. But I never watched it as an adult. Oh, my God, it's hilarious.
Well, a lot of people your age might not because, like you said, when you were a kid.
It came out in 85 or something.
Yeah.
So I was 4. I wasn't, understanding the psychological, puns they were adding during the show.
Yeah, no, there was, you know what show I started watching? I downloaded a bunch of them, and I'm back into it. I'm chewing through them. Is News Radio.
Yeah, News Radio is perfect.
Dude, that show was amazing. Phil Hartman.
It's a great show.
Bill
Hartman was pretty funny. That was Phil's slightly overweight brother.
Dave Foley, is that what you meant?
No, Dave Foley was great, too. No, Phil Hartman played Bill McNeil. I said Phil Hartman, then I said Bill, and I got their names confused.
He tried to redeem himself by saying, look, I know the character's name, bro.
Yeah, well, I've also been watching it for the last 2 days. But
good movie, our TV show, so
yeah,
good.
He was fantastic on that. Well, since we're talking about movies and shit, I told you about the Netflix Pearl, did I not?
The Pearl?
The Netflix Pearl? One movie or TV show on Netflix that nobody might know about that you're watching it or you've seen that you think is...
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait. Well, hold on. First, who's the rapper you think?
Well, I guess Common, but that wasn't my answer. I was just kind of hoping you didn't say that. Yeah. But I would have to say well-respected. That's what throws me off because, I mean, most of them are well-respected. Yeah. But I would say 50 Cent's a horrible actor.
The only
Mos Def?
No. Mos Def's really good. I think... Did you ever see him on Dexter?
No, I saw him in the Italian Job and something else.
He wasn't bad in the Italian Job. What was it? 16 Blocks.
Yeah, with Bruce Willis.
Yeah, that was really good.
I watched Armageddon last night.
Out of left field.
I watched Armageddon. Bruce Willis. It's new on for February, so I watched it. And it's such a cheesy but good cheesy movie. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a perfectly cheesy movie.
Well, that's kind of what now Michael Bay makes everything like that. And I do like the fact that he, in the first Transformers, he made fun of himself a little bit when in the beginning when the Transformers first crashed to Earth, and this fat kid's running down the street with a like camera or his phone, and he's like, "This is like easily 10,000 times cooler than Armageddon," and it was like, "All right."
There's so many scenes in Armageddon that just look like music videos. Like, it's like big they're just sweeping. Yeah, they're staring at the sky. And then,
well,
like,
dude, all of
his
movies, all the Transformers, and I've seen all of them except for the new one hasn't come out yet.
I did see the Ninja Turtle movie he did because I grew up with Ninja Turtle. I did watch that.
That's the one with that's the newest one, right?
Yeah. Oh, what's on Netflix? So whatever one was on Netflix.
Oh
recently.
God, I hope it's not.
It dude, looked pretty cool. Like, it was cheesy.
The one with Megan Fox.
Yeah.
Dude, it was so bad.
But it was cool to see
it. No, it wasn't.
Because as a kid, I had that crappy animation that was on after school. Like, that was our Ninja Turtles.
Dude, that was a good... And then the movie with the fucking foam suits and the dudes with...
No.
Yeah,
no. I wanted to at least see them, like, super... Like, super...
No. Dude, they looked so bad, and the writing was
crazy.
Horrible.
They
looked,
the writing.
Everything
it wasn't as good as the cartoon writing.
No, the first
remember
movie
that episode
was...
where they were hungry for pizza?
Dude, they changed everything. What was it? The fucking, they were aliens, dude?
No, they weren't aliens, bro.
Dude,
they
took my childhood and bent it over a fucking table, and they're doing it again with this sequel. I mean, I'll see it. Don't get me wrong, but I will not be happy about it. Even though Bebop does look kind of cool. Bebop and Rocksteady.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's the visual. That's why but that's why I like commercial movies, because I just proved to you that I don't care. I'm like, oh, it looks cool. Like, when I watched Avatar, like, part of why I liked Avatar is because visually it was so stunning. Like, it looks so dope that, like, I could see past some of the bullshit and just go, wow, this looks so crazy.
Well, see, I'm a huge movie person. I love movies. And, like, all right, this is the type of dude I am. I tell you I listen to Doug Loves Movies. And I will listen to it, but sometimes I can't because I'll get upset because I'll be playing along with the game and I'll be screaming answers at my phone as I'm driving in traffic and, like, other people are missing. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with... And then, like, sometimes he'll pick, like, you know, like, name, you know, how many actors can you name out of this movie? And it's, like, three movies from the 60s. And I'm like, I've heard of one of those.
I've tried to play along with that. I'm so bad. Like, they'll be like, they'll say a movie and I'm like... Who's that guy? Like, Nicolas Cage? I'm like, yeah, Nicolas Cage.
Sometimes I play that game, and in my head, like, if I was keeping score in my head, I was like, dude, I'd be fucking dominating this game. But then there's other times when I play along, and I'm just like, oh, I'm such a piece of shit.
Yeah, I am. For Netflix, a lot of times, like Will here, he's a big artist guy. And a lot of times when I'm doing, like, graphic design stuff or anything on the computer, I like to have, like, background, something that's not distracting, but something that's just, like... Something that's just constant. I need constant something. And I'll put on movies or shows. And a lot of times I'll put on movies that I've already seen, but I wasn't really paying attention the first time I saw it.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll watch it again.
I recently watched
the Howard Hughes, Leonardo DiCaprio movie.
Oh, Aviator.
Aviator. I watched that, and it was really good. And of course, it's been good, and everyone knows it. But it was cool to really pay attention to watch it, because, like I said, I saw it before, and I definitely don't remember a lot of it.
And it's movies like that kill me with him, because I've seen movies like that once, maybe even twice, but I saw them right when they first came out. And yeah, I know The Aviator was about Howard Hughes, and I know it's a fucking great movie, and I know there's a couple scenes where you really see how fucking amazing Leo is without an Oscar, which is ridiculous.
Fucking, is it ridiculous?
Dude, he's a fucking phenomenal actor. what's eating Gilbert Grape?
Yeah, but who cares, bro? Like, who gives a shit? Like, no one cares.
I know, like, I'm taking it personal, like, we're homeboys and shit. Like, dog, me and Leo on the weekends with models.
Yeah, yeah. That, yeah, every time people were upset about Leo getting it or black people not getting invited or whatever, I'm like, dude, no one gives a shit about any of that anyways.
Dude, I'm going to call out Doug Benson, and I'm going to tag him on Facebook. I'm calling him out on this podcast.
You're
going to
yell at him like you did Kanye West.
No, like, I play, yeah, Kanye's ignoring me, so will Doug. I will play fucking Doug Loves Movies, and I will destroy it. I will win guaranteed.
Wow. You're really laying down the gauntlet on that one.
Yeah. Like he can't get a better comic who only 4 years in, 4.5 years. Yeah, not bad. How long you been in? Because you've been
seven,
around.
Seven.
You've been around a while.
Mm-hmm. Seven.
Yeah, you're featuring at the Improv and shit. You're big balling.
I'm comic. You know what's funny? 7 years in comedy, like, it's nothing in the big spectrum.
Yeah.
But it's something in a spectrum. Because I remember when I first started and... You know, people tell me they did it for 5 years. I was like, ooh, five? Like, that's crazy. And now that I've done seven, and people have done 10 or 15 or 20, seven is nothing to them.
Yeah.
But the fact that I remember being, like, impressed by people that did it for 4 years or whatever. I remember the – do you remember when you were a kid – You'd see girls that you thought were pretty, but then as an adult you're like, oh, they weren't really that pretty.
Yeah.
Like, it's just weird. That happens with comedians because like the first year I did comedy, I had so many people that I looked up to because I thought they were so good because I was so naive and so whatever new that I thought they were really good. And then there comes that weird shift where I'm not saying pass them. Yeah. That sounds pretentious, but when you get as good as them.
Well,
and you're like, oh, wait a minute.
I thought
you were really, really good.
I think at a certain point with the comics you're talking about, because I know like what type of comic you're talking about, but I think at a certain point with those types, and I think every city has them, but I think what it is like as you're going on and you're writing new jokes, and because you're a good comic, I see you out there all the time, open mics, we've done,
it worked a couple weeks ago, like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
At Show at Coconuts on the beach. We've worked together probably 100 times by now, I think. I mean, because I've known you almost my whole...
I would say 33. 100's kind of pushing it, but yeah, quite dozens.
It's really like four.
Yeah, exactly. Last week was the first time I met him.
Like we bumped into each other. No, because I've known you almost my whole quote-unquote career. I was going to do the air quotations, but I'm like, my listeners...
But you did one of them,
I did.
Though. You did one
Damn
of
it.
Them.
I was just trying to adjust the mic. But no, and I think that in any area where you have people like you and like I try to be and other people that are writing and going out there and people that are just, oh, I've been here for 7 years, I've been here for 8 years, I've been here for 12 years, I've heard you tell that joke for the last 4 years that I've been
Dude, there's a guy that...
So you just get sick of them.
Well, you get
sick of... Well, not sick of them. I mean, they can still be good people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't mean to say that.
Yeah, you're going to have to send out an apology tweet. Your publicist is really going to have to apologize for that one, Bailey.
We'll go ahead and apologize.
No, but there's a point.
I am so sorry James.
There's a point where you just... And also your taste in performance. Like, because when you're first starting, you're just impressed by anyone that's telling jokes, let alone good, or standing up there in front of people. So you look at them with a weird... Like, you're not even listening so much as watching the whole thing. And then as you get older or you do comedy more or you mature more, you go, that's actually bad that guy did that. Or that's actually not good for the joke.
Well, this is something weird that I went through. And again, 4.5 years, so I'll probably go through all kinds of more weird shit. But like when I first started doing comedy was right around the time that I first got familiar with Aziz Ansari. So, I mean, like he had been around. He was established. I just wasn't at that time. I wasn't watching TV and shit. I'd been drinking for a while. So like I was out of it. You know, whatever. But anyway, I started doing comedy. I started listening to Aziz. I thought he was fucking hilarious. He was cracking me up. But then as I got into more and more comedy, into more writing, into more performing, the comedians that I like to see live, the more high energy, the ones that were performers and weren't good writers, I stopped liking that type of comic as much because I'm not a jump around. I want to get you with my words, with my writing. I'm not going to jump around and make facial expressions and dance. Like, that's just not... So I started liking that, and then I listened to Aziz again, and I'm like, or I watched him, I'm like, man, he just jumps around, like, he's a performer, and I started to kind of pull away, and then recently I started listening to him again, like, a year or so ago, and I was like, well, now that I'm not paying attention to the performance, his writing is actually a lot better than I thought. Like, I let his kind of, I don't want to say physical energy, and his, you know, animation draw me away from the writing for a little bit.
Well, like, you know what it's like with... it's a style. It's not even the writing. It's just the style. The style sometimes can distract you. And that happens with food. Like people, like my mom. No, I mean it. Like my mom is one of those people. My dad will eat everything. Like he has like every taste bud imaginable. My mom is like chicken fingers, club sandwiches, things like that. She's scared of food. So if you took my mom to like a super awesome Thai food restaurant,
yeah,
she wouldn't like it because in her brain she's already pushed herself away from Thai food.
Yeah.
So with like Aziz or Kevin Hart or those guys, you kind of push yourself away just because of how big they are.
Yeah.
But they're really good at what they do. And you,
yeah,
not you per se, but people, you tend to kind of not like the style and forget that they're like, no, that's actually a well-written joke. Or
yeah,
the way he set that up was perfect. But
yeah,
you're,
it's very
you're
clever,
yeah,
the way he brought it around. Yeah.
All those guys are good. You can't be that successful, not be good. But I'm like you. I'm not attracted to physical humor as yeah much. Some people are both. But when it's a huge part of your set, it's distracting to me.
When I was younger, I was really into, 'cause I mean, like, I watched a lot of BET, a lot of Def Comedy Jam, and I liked, like, the big cussing and the swearing and the dancing around, and I liked the fucking animation, and I liked, oh, God, I can't remember his fucking name. But
Mark Curry?
No, it was a white dude, and Mark Curry was good.
Gary,
he wasn't that animated.
Gary Owen?
No, he wasn't on any of those channels.
Louis Anderson.
He went to clown college. He had like a mullet for a while, but he used to like flip around on stage because he had, you know, went to clown college, you know how to do all that shit, but he was funny enough to where he wasn't going to be a clown. But he would like flip around on stage and like do tumbles and like, I mean, really well.
He didn't want to be a clown, but he didn't want to pretend to be one.
Well, no, I want to say that something to do with, he was like a rodeo clown and
he doesn't wear the outfit, but he's flipping and squeezing a nose without the red ball.
Oh no. Yeah. Like, dude, have you ever seen what some of them clown, like rodeo clowns and some circus clowns? Like, dude, they get fucked up. Like,
yeah,
ones that work around the animals, they can get fucked up quickly.
I've seen Jackass. I know how it works. you smoke a cigarette, and then you blindfold yourself.
Yeah, no, that's just fucking suicidal. No, I grew up in Wisconsin. We were starved
for entertainment. I know. I watched Making a Murder. I know how you guys live and die.
Dude, that show touched my fucking heart when I saw that shit.
I definitely flip-flopped on my idea of him. I totally think he's an asshole, piece of shit, guilty. But I also think the police department fucked him over on top of that. I think they're both pieces of shit equally.
Yeah.
But that guy is definitely not fucking
I just don't think he did it, man. There's too much. Like, if there was all this abuse and torture,
but
where was
of,
the blood?
Yeah, but how much of the how much of the non-DVD stuff have you checked out?
Because DNA from the gun, which is my opinion, is the crucial thing, came from the gun above his bed. He killed that girl. I didn't watch the show. But he definitely killed that girl. I think the police, like Joe said, made sure that he was going to go away this time.
I mean, it's a hunting rifle that was in his room. I mean, I honestly don't
know.
Did
you hear about how many times he contacted that chick prior to that?
I heard about that.
Yeah. He's guilty, but they made sure he's guilty.
Yes.
Like, they didn't want to... I think they wanted him... First of all, I think that money that he was going to get was going to fuck up that whole city.
Oh, yeah, that would
have
been toast.
So they have a big incentive to make sure he's guilty.
He would have had to have settled for way less. That town didn't have that money at that time. Trust me,
trust you, I have eyeballs. I saw that fucking community.
But dude,
you could sell every human there into slave labor and you still wouldn't make any money.
Dude, I knew, or when I was listening to it, and just the way the parents talked and like the aunts and the uncles, where I was like, yeah, well, what'd you tell them you did it for, you dumb shit? Like, that was fucking, I had family
they all
that lived
looked
in country.
When they came out,
my family wasn't inbred, but they were out in the country, they lived on farms and shit.
Yeah.
Like, closest town was like an hour away. Like, my one family, they were four.
That's why they have sex with each other, because the other town is so far away. They're like, all right, honey.
Oh, no, dude, because they have to bus in everybody from high school. So you literally are just, it's, because there'll be like three small towns or two small towns to one school, but then like they'll have big events where everybody just, because the towns are so small, you get sick of looking at the same people. So everybody's driving pickup trucks and shit. Everybody gets to know everybody.
Like, people, they often talk about like mean streets of Chicago or Detroit or Louisiana, a place like that. To me, that Wisconsin place, like, not like the nice areas, but like the shitty woodsy places like that.
Like his salvage yard?
That is scary. And it's a salvage yard. Like, he didn't sell like swing sets or something. Like, it was a salvage yard, so it made it even more creepy because it's all those cars that are crushed.
You know that really
long... He should have crushed her, by the way. He should have crushed her.
You know that really long strip of road that they showed where, like, the trees were overhanging, but they were all dead, and it was just nothing but, like, one laid dirt? I accidentally got lost in a town like that when I was, like, I was drunk. It was, like, 4 or 5 in the morning,
And you look like you.
And I had it. Yeah, I look like me. I'm fucking brown in Wisconsin. My mom's car, drunk, fucking. I got like an hour and a half drive ahead of me. And I missed my turn. And also I'm driving on that road and it's dark. It's a little foggy out. Like it was wintertime, but it hadn't snowed in a while. So there's just patches of white being accented by the moon in the fog. And I was like, nah, bitch, this is a horror movie.
Yeah.
I got so scared because I'm like, this is a fucking horror movie. I know what happens out here.
Well, I remember when we were, when I was a kid, I don't know if they still do it, but they probably do. When you go to Disney, mm-hmm. like you could turn your frequency on the radio to like a Disney, like, hello, welcome to Disney. It's playing in your car.
And oh, I'm sure, yeah.
I think neighborhoods should have that. So, like, when you're going through, like, the station changes so you're aware of, like, yeah. if it's rap music or country music or, like, salsa music.
Yeah.
Like, you just know, okay, this is a Spanish neighborhood, this is a redneck neighborhood, yeah. this is a ghetto neighborhood. Like, it should just update for you.
I think I wouldn't be as scared. I think
that sounds like it's probably a bit from Def yeah. Comedy Jam. Yep. So if someone did that, I did not steal that. It was too easy, though.
All right. Oh, by the way. Because, all right, we've almost touched on this twice. So before we get, this is the bag of topics. Normally we have a topic bowl. But since we still haven't answered the question, who do you think the horrible actor rapper was?
First of all, I've named 12 already. So
okay, I'll just give it to you. It's Raekwon. Yeah. Sorry, not Raekwon, RZA. RZA.
RZA, my bad.
I've never even seen Raekwon in anything. That's
say,
my bad.
Has Raekwon been in movies on...
No, like, that's my bad. RZA. Yeah, RZA is one of the most well-respected musical artists.
Yeah, he's horrible.
Man with the Golden Fist.
I can't even watch that. I can't watch anything.
I watched the first one and it was
bad. I don't want to see him like that. I don't want to see that.
Did you ever see Brick Mansions?
I don't even want to see that.
Dude, it's so bad.
I see it on Netflix. I skip over it.
Oh, my God. It's one of the worst. I mean, like, it's so...
Remember earlier you were talking about Aziz and how you kind of change your mind as you... I did that with music. With when I was younger, I loved Bone Thugs and Harmony. They were my favorite group of all time. And now I can't.
They're just not as good as they used to be.
Well, they're not. It's not that they're not as good. It's just that style of lyrics and death and like I can't even like. That's too much. Like it's
well,
way
like
too
I used
much.
To like this group that the RZA was a part of.
Gravediggers.
Yeah, Prince Paul. That was a. The first two?
Yeah, they have, like, spiked rings
and stuff. Yeah, he had, like,
all
of them.
That was spooky. I didn't like me and my friend to get an argument because Wu-Tang is Wu-Tang. Yeah. And they would put Gravediggers in with all the other Ghostface. I'm like, dude, it's not a good out. Like, no, man, great. It was too, like, ooh, they're scary.
Yeah, it was very
spooky.
Dark and very, but, like, it was so raw.
It had a name. Like, they horror...
Horror rap
or horror hip hop or something. They
horror hop, something like
something.
That.
They made a like a little
category.
Yeah,
it was pretty much them. I'm sure there are other groups, but
there's
nobody
few,
that had.
Yeah,
name.
I don't like any of that. Like me and my friends.
I don't like it anymore. Like if it comes on my Pandora every once in a while, I think there's like one song that gets cycled in the rotation, and I'll listen to it, and I'll just kind of go back. But I'm not like yo. I was like,
I'm going the opposite. Like I took all the, like if, like a pie chart. I took all the stuff I love from hip hop, and I took it with me. I left everything else, and now I listen to everything non-hip-hop. Like, I saw a poster in Will's bathroom. He has a Pearl Jam. I discovered Pearl Jam, like, 2 years ago. I was watching some movie, and they have that, Release Me. That's such a good song. It's such an awesome song.
Yeah, you're such a horrible singer.
Oh, yeah. I used to
actually hate Pearl Jam when I was younger, and then I came back around and started listening to him again. I'm like, oh, it's just dope.
Yeah,
really
it's
dope.
Good. I've never done this ever. I watched the movie. I heard the song in the movie. And I go, that sounds really good. What is that? And it said Pearl Jam. I was like, I've heard Pearl Jam, the name, for 20 years, but I never heard any song. And I started YouTubing Pearl Jam. I was like, I've heard that. I've heard that. I've heard that, too. I was like, I actually do know something about these guys.
See, like, I can do that.
John Mayer. I like John Mayer now. Dude.
I'm not sure if I don't. Because, like, this, all right, with music, unless it's, like, hip-hop. But with a lot of music like Pearl Jam, Nine Inch Nails, Tool, Bush, Soundgarden, there's very few groups in that, like, all those, because there's, like, three different genres in there, but all those genres, I can't tell you, like, if you tell me, like, you know, name six of their songs, maybe one or two.
Yeah.
Fucking Seven Dust, perfect example. I have met Seven Dust. I've hung out with them.
Name dropper.
I know, that's the only name, like, it was, like, 10 years ago, 12 years ago when I was living in Wisconsin. I was hooked up at the bar in, like, the nicest hotel in the city. So whenever they came through, they stayed there. And the bass player, I think it was the bass player, Vince, like, he heard me and my buddy outside talking about our daughters. And he comes up. He's like, hey, man, y'all talking about your kids? And it's just this big white dude, fucking sleeved out, fucking real friendly country. We're like, yeah, man, fucking. We start bullshitting with him. We're all showing pictures and stuff.
That was a weird way to introduce yourself into the conversation. Hey, y'all talking about kids or whatever.
Well, I think what he actually said was like, hey, man, I mean, he was really polite, but he was like just real. Hey, man, like, I overheard y'all talking about your daughters, I think is what he said. And he pulls out like a bunch of pictures. And like me, him, my buddy Curtis, just like, yeah, man. All right, we'll see you in there. Yeah, we'll grab a drink. He's like, all right, man, see you in there, buddy. He walks inside, and my friend who was in the music scene in Madison was like, yo, do you know who that is? And I was like, no. He's like, it's Vince, the bass player from Seven Dust. I've heard of Seven Dust. I know I've heard their music, and I enjoyed it enough to not go, these people suck. Like, I've seen them in concert since then, but I couldn't name any of their songs. But I hung out with them all night.
Dude, I'm like that with everything. Like, movies,
oh, by the way,
song
nicest
titles.
Fucking guys ever.
Yeah, he sounds nice, but also kind of creepy.
Well, like the whole group, anytime they'd come in town, if they saw me before I saw them, it wasn't like, it was, hey, Jay, over here, buddy, what's going on? And like, John,
I'm not a fan of people yelling. That's the thing. I don't like any yellers. So even if it's friendly stuff, stop yelling.
We were always in bars drinking. Even John, the lead singer, who, like, the first time he was in town, I talked to him for maybe, like, 5 seconds. Like, we got introduced. I don't really remember it. But then the next time, he came up, like, slaps me on the back. I turn around, I'm like, hey. And he's like, Jay, right? Yeah, man. Hey, how's your kids? You know, how's the job? You're still over here? Like, they remember people that they hang out with. They're really nice. Like, they're not fucking rude. They're not just trying to, like, girls will come to them. They're not going, they're just hanging out. And then if a girl happens to be there, great. But they're all really cool guys. Like, anyway, so.
No, that was good. That was a good. You just did a documentary on Seven Dust.
Great. Gosh.
Seven Dust and MERS, bro. They're going to love you.
Or they're going to sue the shit out of
me. Yeah, exactly. They probably have like some Google alert that pops up every time Seven Dust is mentioned on a podcast. Now, I'm trying to think of recent specials I've seen.
Yeah, do you have anything on Netflix that you want to suggest? No, not that, you personally.
I got a few movies on there. Yeah, a few animated films.
I talk
Pixar.
To you like once a week. Like, dude, have you been filming shit on the sly, bro?
Yeah, exactly. I forgot to tell you, I was in Castaway.
played Wilson, the volleyball?
Yeah, exactly. I put the blood on the ball. Yeah. No, I.
You see Making a Murderer, right? Yeah, I was a courtroom assistant.
I watched, man, I should have come prepared, but there's a movie I watched. It wasn't a ghetto movie, but it was one of those type of movies, but it was in like Europe somewhere. So it had like this weird, maybe it was London. I don't know where it was, but it was like a cool ghetto movie, but in Europe. So it had this weird kind of feel to it.
Remember who was in it?
No one I knew. They're all like British people, whatever. It was really good. It was interesting, but it's their version of like, you know, almost like Boys in the Hood. Or
get
whatever.
Rich or Die Trying.
Exactly. No, it was their version of State Property.
Oh my God, that movie was awful.
Hey, dude, when Beanie Siegel is your leading actor.
And who is like supporting man?
What do you guys? Let's
I like Bleak though.
Dude, all right, that was bad. Let's get real. All right, guys, let's get blunt and honest here.
Hold on, I'm looking up my list.
What are your thoughts on the Oscars and the Black nominees?
Hold on, before we get into that, because man, that's just a jumble of snakes.
Is that one of your Wisconsin phrases?
It is. Housebound. I don't know if you like horrors. Wait, did I do Housebound last time?
I don't remember.
The Aussie thriller.
I don't remember.
He thought if he said it again, you'd remember. You see how he did that?
Well, if no I described chance. It, like, oh, that sounds familiar. All right. God damn it. Let me see if... I did not... Yeah, I might have done it. All right, I'm going to do Tormented. Tormented is a pretty cool little flick. This family, they go out to their house in the country, you know, and it's like a summer home, so they don't normally live there. Well, they've been having trouble with squatters in the area. And they get to the house, they had some squatters thrown out. The house next door has squatters. Family gets in a fight, one of the kids goes over to the empty house next door. Fucking mayhem ensues, like the family gets tortured. It's a horror movie.
What is it called again?
Tormented.
See, I already forgot this one, let alone last week.
Tormented. I'm going to say I did it because I remember talking about it. Housebound, in case you care, it's either Australian or New Zealand, but it's a little horror flick where this chick gets in some trouble. She gets on house arrest, has to move back in with her mom. And, like, you know, they start hearing weird noises in the wall. There might be a serial killer next door, blah, 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 blah. fucking chaos ensues.
You're doing to this movie what you did to your own Twitter joke earlier. You're making this movie sound so bad.
Well, no, like these, like they're, if it was like a really unique or original, I mean, like you've seen movies like this before. I mention these movies because even, and it's, I'm not like trying to down them for that because it's so fucking hard. Like everything's been done. It's 2016. Mm-hmm. Every fucking thing's been done. It's
Avatar's
like,
been done twice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Point Break has been done twice. But it's like when I first started comedy, somebody told me there's 7 original ideas in comedy.
I hate people that say anything like that because it's always dumb. Like, look, there's 5 rules to women.
No, no, no.
There's 7 rules to comedy.
What they said, 10 rules. They said there's 7 ideas, 7 things that have been done. All and right. every joke, like subject matter, can, yeah, you yeah. should get
7 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Is that
but
what
your job
to
is to come up with an original look on or an
so
original
let's
take.
Do the 7. What are the 7?
All right. So obviously there's love.
Love.
And under love, can you know, relationship, boyfriend, mm-hmm. girlfriend, gay, married, whatever. Love, relationships, whatever. Family, friends.
Okay.
Probably job.
Probably.
Well, no. I'm trying to remember. Sorry, I should say probably. All right, job.
Global warming.
No.
That's 4.
That'll fall under probably like political.
Politics, okay.
You know
that
what I'm saying?
Sense.
Like,
yes.
But like... God damn it, Joe Riga.
That was so good. There's 7 ideas.
Probably.
And then number 3,
I can't
like,
remember.
I don't know.
I'm
something about sandwiches, I think. Sandwiches is number 3, right?
Well, there's probably food. The human body, sex, you know, like. But
well, how about this? How about instead of trying to pretend you know.
I don't.
How about
at all.
You come up, or all of us, come all up right. with the, like, the 3.
I thought that's kind of what we were doing, so that's why I was like, probably, you what? Ass.
Manufacturing,
yeah. So it's
slash hospitals.
I'm gonna say work. Look, if you guys aren't gonna take
welding.
This ridiculous,
welding is definitely in the number 6.
If you're not gonna take this ridiculous
no,
podcast
me,
with no listeners seriously,
no, it's definitely relationships. Obviously, yeah.
relationships, love, blah, blah, blah. Even sex. I mean, if you really thought about it, you could probably funnel almost any premise into one of like like work, relationships, and.
Or just saying life, you know, it's
yeah.
all under life. No, but like
yeah,
definitely
I mean,
relationships is
everything's
one.
Under life.
Yeah.
Politics is like a thing.
Yeah,
one
so
version of that. Politics, relationships, and then I would have to say, you know, family. It's always
yeah.
like when I was a kid and my parents. You know what I hate now? I hate comedians, and it's always urban comics. Just so you know,
are you afraid to say black?
Well, and that's a
you can have white urban comics too. Don't be racist.
No, that's my point.
White people
that's
can suck
point.
Too.
Exactly, that's my point. Because it's an urban style. It's just it's not black. It's the comedy terms, right?
Yeah, it's better than saying ghetto.
Well, because there's white, like you said, there's white urban
Spanish.
Guys. Yeah, there's definitely white guys that are on BET.
No, yeah, it's not like you're not talking about a black style because the only thing that you can really have a black style is. Telling the difference between black
yeah,
and white.
Yeah, just saying you're black, yeah, or just
yeah.
saying why I'm being black in America.
So whatever. Race is probably one then, too.
Race has to be
oh,
right,
yeah.
right, yeah.
But even that, again,
race, yeah,
you
race
can file that into, like, relationships. Because you can be
yeah.
relationships with
but
friends,
no,
family.
Let's think of it like a Jeopardy category,
okay, then,
right?
yeah, then that would definitely
so
be
So race, it. Relationships, yeah. Pop.
Religion.
But I hate jokes, yeah. I hate yeah. jokes about the, like, my mom used to beat me. Oh, you need to beat these kids. I hate those style of, like, man, these kids these days, you know, if they got beat, I hate
no,
that.
No, you need
joke.
To be a good parent.
Yeah, and it's not even about like I'm. You
if
know.
You have to give them a tap on the, don't beat your kid. Quit.
Well, it's pulling from the absurd. It's coming yeah. from an absurd direction, and that's to get that visceral reaction of a laugh, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's part of it too.
It's basic. It's hack. It's basic.
It's hack,
bullshit.
But it's also just a bad message.
And everything, and it's been done.
It's been done. It's a bad message, and it's just I just annoying.
So is it the same thing with, like, rape jokes? Would you consider that in the same category?
I consider rape jokes... all right, obviously, for my female listener, I think I have one
there's
of each.
There's none. There's none.
I think
you
I have one female,
that.
One male. I think so. But for my female listener, we're not saying that rape is good. We're not advocating that at all. You can
I
have...
thought that was Will's job as a publicist to apologize.
Oh, no, he said some fucked up shit on the... I can't trust him with that one when it comes to women. He said some ridiculous things.
It's true.
He said... what? Anyway, I'm not going to butcher another fucking line.
You're about to say he probably
he
said.
Probably said... No, rape is such a touchy... Because it is such a serious...
I get physical.
No, I wasn't really trying... No pun intended. That would have been a horrible fucking pun, Joe Riga. Joe Riga said that. JoeRiga.com. I don't know if you have a website. Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Or not, considering how I just promoted it.
In comedy in 2016, you better have a website.
I can't afford it, man.
You should have a website in 2000, no matter what you're doing. Yeah, if you're just a person, yeah, you should have a website.
Yeah, as soon as like internet became, as soon as everyone had email.
Facebook.
Yeah, nah. It's so cheap now. You can get a website for like. Yeah.
I've actually been thinking about going to like Squarespace.
Yeah, go to Squarespace. Yeah.
But I want them to sponsor me first, even though they probably won't for my listener. Anyway,
what time is it right now, James?
Rape jokes can be done. I've heard them done. I've heard them executed where you don't say rape. You don't say I held this bit. You know, you don't say anything like that, and it's a well-done joke. It's so fucking hard, and even a well-done joke can get you booed out of the wrong room. You know what I'm saying?
Have you ever been booed? Anybody?
Yes.
You've actually been booed.
By one person, because... As I try to eat and talk like a dumbass.
Yeah. He's like, I want a sponsor from Squarespace.
You guys can't hear the chewing. No, we're good. It was a muffin. I just mushed it. Do you remember the Indian? I know you were still hitting mics back then. It was like four years ago. No. It was a white guy used to show up with Greg Bates.
Cher.
He's Cher now. But he used to go to the Indian, and he used to come in, like, sweatpants, and he had, like, a dirty white tee on. He had, like, this really bad, like, almost mop gray hair wig and, like, a little tiny leather headband tied around his head, and he went up as the Indian. And it was awful. And I didn't realize at the time, you know, that they're a little different.
Is he slow or something? He's
a little off.
Something wrong with him.
Yeah, he's a little off. And I didn't realize it at the time. I just started doing comedy. I'd never met them before. I go up right after him, and the first thing I said, I was like, yo, dude, they got mirrors in your house? And everybody kind of laughed, and he was like, yeah, why? And I was like, do you know where they are? You don't, do they? And everybody just started dying laughing. So, like, 2 minutes later, I'm doing a bit, and I hit the punchline, and I heard other people laugh, but it just very quietly, I just hear, boo.
Nice.
I got quieted on stage by the police.
Police?
Yeah, Will was there.
Yeah. That was pretty wild. I was at the Don't Stop St. Pete Festival.
Yeah, performing on top of a bus outside, yelling down to people, and a cop yelled up at me and told me to quit cursing.
Oh, nice. Not get off the bus, but yeah. Stop cursing.
Well, no, it was a, you know, whatever, double-decker bus. We were supposed to be up there. I didn't just jump on a bus.
You were, like, on top of a school bus, like, doing comedy.
No, it was a music festival. We were supposed to be there.
Back to the rape stuff. To me, like, I'm getting more into... not personal comedy, like, it has to be personal.
Yeah.
I have to believe it, right? So with rape jokes, unless you're saying it from the vantage point of a story, and you're taking an actual rape story and making that a joke, I'll give you that if you can do it good, versus you joking, you fucking sensitive fucks.
I just don't see how that can
go
good.
Basically, the Bill Cosby are rape jokes. I mean, essentially, that's... kind of what those jokes are, right?
Okay, fair enough.
So, but when you joke that you rape someone...
But even those are...
Yeah, but what I'm saying is when... If you're telling me a joke about, you know, how crazy it is to work at your job or your family, yeah. And then you tell a joke that involves you raping someone or you getting raped, it's just so non... It just can't happen within the realm of the story you've been telling.
So usually with rape jokes, though, they're coming from the absurd. So they're so absurd...
I have no problem with absurdity for the sake of being absurd.
This is the one...
They're not funny. If they're too real, they
aren't
they're
not
funny.
Yeah, because then people get that sense. And it's not... Like, I'm not trying to be sensitive. Like, when I flinched, I was just thinking of the crowd reaction to somebody. Not necessarily like, oh my God, but just like...
It's also who. It's who you are.
Yeah.
Attell could say a rape joke better than Mike Birbiglia.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a style.
Like,
thing,
yeah,
right?
Your style... Yeah. And the same way, if your style is just... Like, that's why, like, I grew out of jokes, because when I first started, I was too self-conscious to be open about my personal life.
Right.
So and I'm still, for the most part, I am, but none of my jokes were personal at all. They were just ridiculous and silly and fantastic, like, fantasy-type shit. And when you do that, it's fine, but you can never grow within that person because that person's not you.
Right.
Like, if you watch Mitch Hedberg, that's fantastic fantasy-style jokes.
But he's different. He can still...
That's my point.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell a joke about my life and then segue into a Mitch Hedberg fantasy world. Because it doesn't come in and out correctly.
I try to do a decent mix. Like, almost everything I've written, almost, is based off of something that had, or like some situation happened and made me think. And maybe by the end of the, like by the end result, I've cut away some of the personal part, not because it wasn't, not because I didn't want it out there, just because it wasn't, it didn't work. It needed to be done to make the joke better. But like a lot of mine, there's something going on in my real life that just said, okay, this is why you're going to say these, you know what I'm saying?
Like, so it's your own anecdotal experience with a topic that you can pull out and make your own and show it to other people.
And when I try to show it to other people, I try to get real famous. That's where I get the mix from. Because like the shit that I say when I tell my daughter, and I don't know how much, how far away I've been. There we go. Like when I have that joke where I tell my daughter, like, yeah, when your mom gets drunk, she likes to take it up the butt. I would never fucking say that. No reasonable person that's not a piece of shit would say that to a 16 or 15-year-old child. But in my joke, I say it. She's heard me say the joke because she knows the difference between, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'll warn her, be like, because she comes and watches me do sets. And I'll warn her, like, because I was still writing, like, warming that joke out, seeing how it worked. And I was like, look, just so you know, there's a pretty filthy one in here tonight. And she's like, what? She's seen me so many times that she's like, whatever, Dad, I have listened to you.
Well, there's nothing wrong with hyperbole when it's documented by right. a good joke. So if you're using hyperbole,
if it's clear, hyperbole is clear.
Exactly, because the audience isn't thinking you're saying that to your daughter. Right. They're just thinking that you're the type of guy that will say something suspect. Not suspect, but
outrageous.
Outrageous, right?
Yeah.
So the joke, you could replace that punchline with anything, and they still know what you mean by
right.
that.
I have a theory that this is the worst time in history to be a comedian. But also it could potentially be the best time because there's you're fighting against this progressivism now that
right.
you can't say anything. There's even you can't call people him or her anymore for that matter. Some people anyways get upset about that. A girl did a rape joke at Sly Bar and she got nothing. It was a girl.
Yeah, well, I think I know what you're talking about, but she got, like you were saying, she got really personal, and it was a real story about it happening to her.
Plus, she's not good enough to tell the joke.
Yeah, she's just not. She's new.
Because so it was just a bad joke?
Yeah, it's a bad
joke. Just a bad joke. Right. I know what you're talking about.
If Sarah Silverman does that joke, it's probably funny.
I figured there'd be some reaction, whether it's ugh.
Well, it's both. It's both. It's them being progressive douchebags, and it's also her not executing it properly.
Tia.
It's both those things.
You remember Tia, right?
Which...
Tall, blonde, a little older. I always talk to other kids and stuff.
Oh, Tia.
Michael.
Tia, of course.
Tia, not Terry. Tia.
Yeah, Tia.
But she used to have a joke, and God damn it, I'm not even going to say the joke, but it went along the lines of like,
thank you.
At least if she's going to get raped, she hopes it's by a black guy or something, out in the parking lot. Like she, and it's
but
a
rape
very...
jokes, to be fair, rape jokes are kind of like those Holocaust jokes that when you're doing open mics and you're thinking you're trying to be like, very controversial or very crazy, you do a Holocaust or rape or one of those type of jokes. And to me, I think most people outgrow that as they get better at comedy.
Well, she was talented enough too, where she could do a joke like that about her getting raped, putting herself in a situation, even like knowing it's like wanting it to happen. But she was good enough where she could make crowds laugh at it.
I did that, and I had that, and there's a lot of versions of that, whether it's the subject matter or your facial expression or the way you talk to an audience member. Like, I had a habit early on of not being likable. Like, I don't mean that in a horrible way. I just mean, like, I didn't go out of my way to be friendly with the audience. Like, I would make faces if they were acting up, or I would pick on them a little bit more aggressively, and it's like certain jokes even. Because you've established yourself as kind of a little abrasive, now when they hear your jokes, they're putting that filter on everything you say. So even when you say something cuddly, if you just said a rape joke 10 minutes earlier, they're going to take some of that feeling and apply it to each joke thereafter. And that's where you got to be careful mixing those stuff. Because if you're going to talk about rape, you better talk about more things closer to rape than you would closer to airline travel. Like, they should be more centered in that direction.
You can't have a lighthearted... Like, Brian Regan couldn't be halfway through a set, you know, with his kind of, like, light, silly fucking Pop-Tarts. You know, and, you know, don't get me wrong, he is fucking hilarious. He is so funny, even though he's... And I say even though, I don't usually go for people that do the clean, like, nope, can't do... But he's so talented. But, like, he can't halfway through a set just drop a really dark rape joke. Just start, like, getting really, like, even no matter how well it's written, no matter how good it is, his crowd's going to fucking turn on him. And with something as serious as rape, there's no way he's picking it back up. But like you said, David Tell, Jim Norton, I'm not really a fan of her. I haven't seen her in a while, but like Lisa Lampanelli.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Somebody who has a darker style.
And they know you're not being serious because you've established you're being silly.
And I actually gotten in a lot of trouble. Well, not a lot of trouble, but one of the worst experiences at a show I've ever had. I was doing the show. I'm hosting. It's a music festival. The guy who's running it decides to jump up on stage with me to yell at the guy on the other side of the room who's running the soundboard. And I'm like, no, this is much better than just walking. Like, said this to him. Like, this is much better than just walking across the room, interrupt me. So we started fucking around. And it was all fun and lighthearted. And I'd said something along the lines of basically, like, everybody in the crowd is going to get to take their money back out of his ass. And by that, I mean, we're going to rape you. And he kind of, you know, he laughed. Everybody laughed, whatever. We bring up the next band. Band starts going. Crowd was fine with it. I go over to the bar while the band's going, and the bartender, like, you know, leans me in or whatever. And I was like, yeah. She goes, do you do a lot of rape jokes? And I was like, no, I kind of dropped them all. I just kind of did that one because it was on the spot or whatever. Why? And she goes, oh, because I personally know of at least 3 women in here right now that have been raped. And I was like, oh, I'm going to take my water and go outside because you just fucking crushed me. Like, yeah. I was like, I just told you no, it just kind of happened. Yeah. Like, you didn't have to say
but
that.
But that's also her, yeah, but she doesn't know. Like, yeah. If she's that sensitive, she definitely doesn't know how to talk to people. Like those.
Oh, God. But she's a bartender in a fucking shithole dive bar.
Yeah, but remember, we've established that it's very, it's so progressive that even those people are offended.
I'm going to tell you this part afterwards. We got to get off the air soon, and I'm going to, yeah, we'll talk about the, oh, shit, we got to get off. Will's got the fucking Todd from Scrubs coming on. I'm so excited. Could not be fucking happier. Well, before we go, Joe, of course, it was a blast having you on.
Thanks, brother.
I have to have you back on before you go. I wanted you on because whenever we hang on, we end up getting in weird conversations. We go everywhere all over the road with it. And you provide a really, like, because we didn't necessarily grow up the same. We don't hang out the same. You know, like, we have different views on shit. But we both smoke, so we get along great.
Exactly. We have a common denominator.
Hint, hint to world leaders. We smoke. We get along just fine with not much else. Smoking and comedy, that's what we have in common. We're buds. Just saying, guys.
Pardon the pun.
Yeah. God damn it, that's 2.
And also, I'll be at the Improv this weekend with Harlan Williams.
Yeah, pump the dates just in case.
This weekend, February. Well, if you're listening to it this week.
It'll go out tomorrow.
Okay, cool. It is February 3rd through the 6th. Tampa Improv.
Tampa Improv with Harlan Williams?
Harlan Williams.
Oh, I heard that's a good show. I like him.
He's awesome. Crowd work, just crazy. Yeah. So, talking about silliness, like he's like the definition of silly. So he can get away with a lot of stuff because he's silly. But it'll be good.
He's also very smart with the tune. He's a funny actor.
Nah,
I really
he's
enjoy
good. He's really good. Really funny.
Oh, well, cool. What's your Twitter? Anything
Joe
else?
Joe Riga. Yeah, just, you know, Google Joe Riga. Everything pops up that you want.
Oh, shit. Look at you with your unique name. Mm-hmm. You know what happens when you Google James Bailey?
An attorney in Wisconsin pops up.
And a doctor. Yeah. Lots of attorneys pop up. Has once represented. That'll be one day here. I'm on Instagram now. I'm going to put out a photo of this. I'm going to take a photo with you against this backdrop. I'll put it on Instagram. But on Instagram, Facebook, and the tweets, I am James Bailey, ha ha. Because I needed to do something easy to remember with my basic ass name. Dude, fuck you. My name is basic, all right? You know how hard it is to get James Bailey
in
anything?
Yeah, it's better than underscore, so.
Yeah, so James, now I feel like you're being sarcastic. James Bailey, haha. Remember, it's fucking joke. Thank you, Joe Riga, for coming in.
Thanks, brother.
We'll talk to you soon, buddy. No worries. That's how we do. Why we talking to Arsenio? Mixing from the video. Calling me a Emilio. Burning up a devil. She say she cooking my cereal. Thursday, killing this shit. We need our own parade. I'ma park this float out front and let the speakers play. This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Get even more content, the Dallas Cowboys podcast, and the homemade broadcast right over at hmbradio.com.